I think our service is very interesting and kind of unique because on the one hand, you've older people as volunteers who are taking these calls, you know, and we're open, you know, from 10 until 4 and 7 until 10 every single day. So there's, we have up to almost 300 volunteers around the country taking all these calls. And they're no different in some ways from the people making the calls, except maybe they have more support systems, or the person at the other end might be kind of going through a bit of a crisis. So one of the things I think is really important to say that older people, that there's no difference sometimes between the caller and the callee, just maybe what's going on in somebody's life at the time. And I think that's what makes Senior Helpline so successful, that there's a huge empathy and a huge mutual understanding of perhaps the caller issue, you know, that maybe the caller, if somebody's been talking about a bereavement, the volunteer would have been through that themselves. And even though their training would have them holding back from anyway talking about themselves, there's an understanding there that they're able to kind of be in that place with the caller. And one of the things I often think about is they talk about our growing proportion of older people is kind of demographic time bomb, you know, that word, and put in terms of problem and everything. And I would prefer to think of demographic bounty, because I think the huge population of older people, young old people in mid-60s, mid-70s, late-70s, still very well, still with lots of skills, still with lots of experience, lots of time to give. I was listening to a presentation given by somebody from The Wheel recently, and they were saying in terms of volunteerism in Ireland, whereas the big volunteer pool used to come from, you know, stay-at-home women who weren't working outside the home, and they, their children were maybe teenagers and they had time. Now, a lot of the women are working now, and so it's gone up a generation. It's more older people who've retired are now taking up that volunteer slack, you know, which I think is really interesting.
That does give another perspective, doesn't it? But you've also noticed from your work with Senior Helpline that summertime is a time when you do get a lot of calls and a lot of older people do feel isolated.
Absolutely, Miriam. One of the things we've been noticing is that while Christmas Day, sadly, is one of our busiest days, as the summer holidays come in, also some of our volunteers begin to brace themselves for receiving different kinds of calls. And even though the days are lovely and balmy and everyone's kind of feeling in good form, for some older people, it's a kind of a more difficult time because families can be going away. Sons and daughters who are really very supportive and there a lot of the time, making time for their parents or their older relatives, they go away, they have their holiday. Friends and neighbours can go away. Some of the services closing down. I was talking to somebody yesterday who goes to a daycare centre and it's closing down for the month of July. Doesn't he really would need it, you know? So paradoxically, summer, a time for expansion, a time for meeting people, a time for having time for each other, sometimes is a time of retrenchment for some older people.
And what kind of solutions are there to that, or do older people themselves find to that?
Well, speaking for Senior Helpline, I suppose we are a confidential listening service for older people, by older people for the price of a local call anywhere in the country. So we're there, so people will call us and could call us, and that's one kind of contact at the end of the line. In terms of what older people can do for themselves, I suppose it's that vicious circle. If older people can do something, they do it. And the kind of people we're more concerned about is people who are more vulnerable, who maybe are confined to home more because of maybe disability, or don't have the money to kind of go on trips, go on holidays. The other point would be, when we were thinking about this, is that in terms of contact when we're away, that most of us be kind of texting madly or emailing. And while older people are, very many of them are computer literate, and we all have our mobile phone now, we have an internet cafe down in Summerhill where we teach our older people computer skills. A lot of older people don't have that facility and don't have that capacity. So that kind of contact isn't always available to them either.
And yet, what should people do? Because, I mean, you mentioned about the centre closing down in July, and I imagine things like that must happen in August as well, because a lot of places shut down. And yeah. I mean, and yet, on the other hand, I mean, people need their holidays too, don't they? They need their break. So, you know, how do you...
What's to be done?
What's to be done, yeah.
I remember Dublin Corporation used to have a campaign, maybe they still have it, it's called Reach Out. And I suppose that's one of the first things that would occur to us. It would be, and one of the things we were kind of, while we put out our press release, we wanted people to kind of become more aware perhaps of older neighbours who they might normally see the family car you know, stopping outside and children and grandchildren going in, if that seems to be a bit more silent, if neighbours seem to be away, that you would maybe keep an eye out and maybe lift the phone or drop in. Now, we're very conscious in saying that, that some older people value their privacy highly, and aren't they right? But it seems to me that summertime perhaps does lend itself more to contact without intrusiveness, in that, you know, you can be passing by and see somebody in their garden and stop and say hello, or see them down at the shop to see them out walking. So there's more of an opportunity to perhaps be a bit caring without seeming, you know, very obviously so.